Amen. Good to see everybody. Awesome. Welcome to Frontier Church. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, hey, I've never seen you in this part of the building before. Isn't it awesome? Just for some of you who are wondering, hey, what in the world happened? You know, we had the city blew out one of its power cords, and it blew out our AC unit in the sanctuary. And so we are adapting. How many know it doesn't matter what happens to you? You keep on moving. Hello, somebody. And God was so good to us to give us this place. And we just got finished with the AC and this came on. And so all things work towards the good of those that love God. I will say this, that some of us are leaders in here. You know who you are. If there is a guest that has come into the building and they need a seat, we would ask that you would be willing to volunteer your seat for those who are coming in, maybe our first-time guests and things like that. But how many are ready for the Word of God? How many are ready for the Word? What's her name? Finn, that's right. I remember. Oh, how are you? This is this baby is just gorgeous. She's gonna be a singer, so I'm just gonna claim her as a singer on the stage and worship leader. Amen. All right. Again, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Turn to the other side and say, give me $2. You still ain't giving it to me. I'm having issues. You know, I've been doing that for years. Ain't nobody gave me $2 yet. You know that? That's a shame. Let's get into the Word of God. We are reading from the book of James. And if you would open up to the book of James, we're going to continue our lesson. And I want to ask you a question, which is also the message for today. What is the name of your fish? Look at your name and say, what's the name of your fish? I love it. All right, we're coming from James chapter 1. And I want you, we're going to read from verse 5. And it talks about what happens when you go through trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble before? I remember. Anybody ever just get like irritated before and just like anybody just kind of got off on the wrong side of the bed and then fell on the floor and rolled into the living room? Anybody rolled down the steps? That was me. And sometimes in life, and I know this is true, and I need you to understand this spiritual truth. In this world, you will have troubles. Can I get an amen? I'm not here to tell you, you know, if you give God $1,000, you'll be prospering and you'll never go through. No, you'll get that $1,000 and then they come for your money and then they take your car. Hello, somebody. No, you in this world, you will and you are guaranteed, as they say in Louisiana, guaranteed to have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why in the world would I get happy about it? He says, because I overcame the world. Well, what's it got to do with me? He says, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. So the difference that you have over someone that doesn't know Christ is simple. Who's with you in the midst of your storm? Who's with you in the midst of your storm? When you are going through something and you don't know what to do and you don't know who to call on, if you don't have a God that's bigger than the storm you're facing, you're in trouble. Hello, somebody. It's like when Jesus was crossing the Sea of Gennesaret. He was in the boat. All the disciples were in the boat, and all of them, they were rowing, and they just kept rowing and rowing, and you're going through life rowing and rowing, and you got that rhythm down, and everything working good. Somebody roll your shoulders like I am. Oh, yeah. You just got that row going. I got this thing, and then coming over the mountainside is a storm. But Jesus is still asleep at the bottom of the boat. Jesus is out. Everybody say he was out. He was comfortably asleep, and nobody, and you're rowing, you're like, listen, okay, now it's picking up here. I can't keep the flow. I can't, the money ain't coming in like it was. You know, things don't look right. My health ain't the same anymore. And you start to panic, and you start to worry, and you start to say, God, where are you? Where are you? And the Bible tells us that there's one disciple. There's always one in a group. That one. The one who goes, something wrong, God. This ain't what I signed up for. You done messed up somewhere. And a disciple went over to Jesus and said, Jesus, Jesus, wake up. How many, did that fall? He said, Jesus, wake up. Don't you even care that I'm perishing? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to ask whether he care or not. I'm going to say, get me out of Dodge. I need help. But when a person goes through something, they make it personal. And the hurt goes deeper when they speak. I'm going through something here, and you don't care. Now, that is not what you think you would ask if you were drowning. If you're drowning in the middle of the ocean, you're going to be like, oh, does somebody like me? You're not going to do that. You're not going to say, I'm drowning. Are we buds? Are we good? You're not going to do that. You're going to say what? Help. Help me. Come in the water and get me out. No, this disciple said, Jesus, don't you even care that we're perishing? And I love this. Now, you got to think, why would he say, don't you care? Because there are two types of people in the world. Selfish or selfless. If your fish is named self, you're always going to blame somebody else for the trouble you're going through. If your fish is named self, you're going to blame people who have nothing to do with your trouble and say, don't you even care? I love what the word says. Jesus, he got up and he walked by that same disciple. You know, sometimes when someone goes through something, what they want is you to pay attention to their struggle. Amen. You want somebody to say, oh, I understand. We are on the same page. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, oh, no, y'all didn't do it right. You got to do it like you mean it. Oh, my little baby, you want a hug? We want to be coddled. We want to be told everything's going to be all right. When we should be, what we should be doing, instead of complaining about what we're going through, we should be talking, hey, Jesus, this one's yours. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You told me get in the boat. You told me go to the other side. I'm here because you said so. So you handle this problem. Some of us have been beaten so bad by our parents and people we love that we don't even know how to handle our own kids. We've got people in here that literally had a whole lot of money and lost it just like that, and they feel like that part of their life is over. But I'm here to tell you, if you still got God, I'm going to go old school. Weeping may endure for a night, but cometh in the morning. Hallelujah, somebody. Listen, When you get in the middle of your storm, don't get selfish. You got to get selfless. You got to say, Lord, it ain't about me. It's not about what I'm going through. I praise you in the midst of my storm. I thank you in the midst of my trouble. I thank you when I feel like I don't want to thank you. I praise you when I feel like I don't want to praise you. I shout when I feel like I don't. Come on, somebody. And then out of the sky, God comes breaking through. Woo! It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You may be going through something, but don't look at the problem. Look at the solution. It's in the boat. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the boat. It's in the boat. It's a tap him. Let him look. Wake him up. It's in the boat. It's in the boat. He left the shore with you. Good God Almighty. He knew where you got to get to. Come on, somebody. He knows your destiny. He knows the storm is coming.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He knew it before you even set foot on your destiny. He knew it before you put your foot in the boat. He knew you would be rowing till you got tired. And you came to the end of yourself. Your fish stopped being self. And you became selfless. You know what sin is? Write this down. I'm going to tell you what sin is. Selfish in nature. That's what sin is. It's being selfish. I want this. I want that. God, I want it my way, not your way. How dare you talk to me like that? Who do you think you are? I don't care if you this and this. Nobody tells me like that. My mama don't talk to me like that. Listen, you better hope your mama talk to you like that. And you better hope God talks to you like that. Most of us don't want God to tell us nothing. We pray for what we want. We don't pray for what we need. Hello, somebody. Some of us, God has been trying to talk to you about getting back in that secret place where you're praying and you remember that time when you used to be on fire and you go to work and you're like, man, I read this today. God spoke to me last night. I had a dream. Man, I learned something new and you're so excited and you're coming to church and everybody, man, this person get on my nerves because they always happy. They always smiling. What you got to smile about? You're like, I don't know. It's just God. You know why? Because you became not selfish, but you became selfless. You began to look at God as the source of your solution. And watch this now. God knew you were on the journey when he put you in the position you were in. How many know it's about the choices we make in the trouble? Please write that down. It's about the choices we make in the trouble that determines whether you're going to make it through the storm. Because I can promise you, I know some people right now that didn't make it. Can I just be honest with you? We say all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But some people have fell out of love with God. They stopped trusting him to take care of everything that they needed, and they failed. They became what we call shipwrecked. Their faith, instead of going through the canal, it landed upon the rocks. And you see what God built is broken among the rocks. He said their faith became shipwrecked because they would not believe what he said he would do. It hadn't happened yet, and it's been 20 years. So what? Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years and went back to take him across for another 40. He was 120 when he died. 80 years before he saw the promise. Abraham, your father of faith, was 100 before he knew that he was going to give birth to his promised son, Isaac. Could you imagine what his thoughts were when 98 hit? Come on, somebody. I mean, how many married up in here? Let me see that. Let me see your hands. No, no, y'all putting them hobbit hands. Give me human hands up in here. Yeah. All y'all married folk. Y'all know what? 98? You lucky to have me up talking. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Lord have mercy. I can get a glass of water. But Abraham was more than Abraham. When God gets in your boat, hello, somebody. So they still don't know the one I'm talking about. Sarah was like, ooh, Abraham, Abe, hi, hey there. Well, Abe, what's up? You look especially nice tonight, Abe. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, Isaac, boom. Only God can do miracles like that. Hello, somebody. Only God can make you love somebody. And when you felt your love was gone and God put a whole new river of love in your heart, put a desire, say, you know what? I didn't like you, but you looking pretty good. You looking kind of sexy. You looking kind of, glow. Where'd that come from? God. How many want God in their boat? Amen. Ain't got to do nothing dirty. You just keep it holy. Holy women attract holy men. That's just the way it works. You want a holy man? Be a holy woman. And you, men be like, where? Oh, did you see that girl over there? Oh, God. Listen to, and holy women want holy men. Hello, somebody. They don't want somebody that's going to get holy. You want somebody that is holy. Hello. Because you can't change nobody. You better get somebody holy, lest they hold you back. Hello, somebody. Oh, my God. It got quiet up in here, didn't it? Oh. I love you. Look at your neighbor and say, he loves us. He really does. He knew you were going to be in that boat. He knew you were going to be in that situation. He knew you would be here today. He knew you came to church anyway. He knew no matter what it looks like, what it feels like. Some of y'all are like, what? We ain't in a new building. We ain't on the other side. But God has a word, a word, a word, a word for you. Do not give up in the middle of your storm. Get up and call upon my name. In the midnight, you may think I'm sleeping. But if listen to me, if you're in the middle of the worst storm you ever had in your life and God is asleep in your storm, what's that say about your storm? It ain't all that. If God don't even have to wake up for you to make it out, what's that speak about your storm? You got to see it like he sees it. You got to feel it like he. If God is not getting worried, why am I sweating over all this stuff? Some of y'all should have been in jail and Jesus was asleep. And they're like, wake up. My son going to jail. My daughter. Jesus said, I got this. I'll deal with this in my sleep. I can dream him out of jail. Hello, somebody. I don't even have to wake up. Well, he woke up, and I want you to see what he did to the disciple. He woke up. I need an example. You be my disciple, right? And I want you to just yell at me, right? Now, I'm going to be asleep over here. And you go, Jesus, Jesus, don't you even care? I'm dying. Go ahead. Get up like you're really mad.
Bishop.
Watch your mouth now. Watch your mouth. No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
Bishop, come on. I need you, Bishop. Bishop. Jesus.
You better know who you're calling. Don't you call your bishop. You better call on Jesus, because this man is asleep. There'll be a day you can't reach your bishop. You better get the bishop of your soul. I'm second class. He's first class. No, because I still be like, get off me, man. Get off me. I'm sorry. Got a little sidetracked. Go ahead. Come on, man. Come on.
Jesus. Don't you care that I'm perishing?
Try a little harder. Hold on. No, that's a good point. Now watch this. Here's him. Jesus. Don't you care? Do you care? Come on, somebody. Listen, y'all gotta quit playing those pretty prayers. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord of all lights, God who is, was, and ever shall be. Wouldest thou look upon me and seest my issues, and would thou comest after me in Jesus' name? You better learn how I pray. Jesus! He knows all I got to say in that one name. Jesus, when you in a car accident and you about to get hit, you ain't got time for a prayer. Jesus, that's all you can say. And it'll say everything you need to say. Jesus, but you can't be like Jesus. Because it don't matter to you. You gotta bother me like it matters. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. Not he that is satisfied and feels I don't really need to eat. This just dessert will be filled. No, you got to show me you need me. Go.
Jesus!
You got me that time. Hold on. It's a bit much. That almost scared me right there. That just, oh, Lord. I had a heart attack. Now, watch this. Here's what. Now, you stand up over here. You woke Jesus up now. Now, does he deal with how you talk to him? No, the Bible says he got up, walked past the disciple. Like he wasn't even there. Got to the edge of the boat. Spoke to the wind. He rebuked the wind. Because why? The storm of waves was pushing the water in the boat. So he spoke to the root. He spoke to the cause of the problem first. I rebuke you, wind. Now the boat's still rocking. Because the waves are now still moving because of the wind. But the wind doesn't stop. But them waves still rocking. Then he spoke to the sea and said, peace. Be still. He spoke to the cause and he spoke to the effect. Hello, somebody. God can deal with the cause and the effects that are happening in your life. Then he walks back from the edge of the boat. And he looks the disciple in the eye and say, oh, ye of little faith, why are you so afraid? If you ever had something like that happen to you where God looks you in the face, all that screaming you were doing, all that panicking you were doing, like he wasn't with you, at what point are you going to acknowledge that you have a God? Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you have a God? Do you act like you have a God? Because people who have a God, they don't sweat the small stuff. Come on, somebody. They know. I know how it feels. I feel horrible. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through trouble. It just means you got an out. You got somebody you can talk to. Somebody that ain't going to break your trust. There's some men in this room. Don't trust other men. Because all they did was take from you or hurt you. I'm not just talking about women. I'm talking about men. And you're like, I don't trust nobody. He's the one man you can trust. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's got your back. And when you don't think he's there, he still is. And the Bible says when he got up and rebuked all that, then he spoke and they appeared on the other side of the shore. What does that mean? They got to their destination instantly. What does that say to you and I? You've got to learn what door to unlock to get to your destination. You done tried mama, grandmama, bank, You done tried girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. You done tried Aunt Maymay, Aunt Bebe, Sister Ray Ray. Sister Ray Ray got issues. But, you know, you got, you done tried all these keys, and they don't unlock no doors for you. But if you just take the key on the first sign of can you, I need you to hear me. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I'm telling you both what I know and what I've seen. When you enter into your chaos, don't go to God at the end because you'll be too weary to call out. No, hit him on the front end. The more mature you get, the quicker you go to God. Hello, somebody. You'll be like, oh, what happened? Okay, hold on. Father, in the name of Jesus. Boom, it's done. And that's how you grow in God, because he said this, no more shall you go to my Father in heaven. He said, no more shall you go to me. Up unto and through the Gospels, the disciples always went to Jesus for all of their problems. And then he says to them, no more do you have to do this. He says, for I'm going to my Father, and my Father loves you like he loves me. So all you got to do is go to my Father and say, in Jesus' name, and my Father will do it so that your joy may be full. How many of you dealing with sadness, going through something? You're unhappy. Your marriage ain't working right. I'm telling you, that's why we're doing our marriage ministry is called Two to Win. It takes two of you to win. And so we're getting together even today at 5 o'clock. You're welcome to come. We're gonna look at a video together, get it started. And if you want to sign up to be a part, please fill it out on connection card. Say, hey, put me in for Two to Win. But it's for married people. Okay, if you're single, I'll get you a ticket to Subway, okay? We'll get you some Subway. It's low fat, doesn't add a lot, you know what I'm saying? But you have to learn to go to God. Husbands, wives, you can't go to your mate first. Just because you marry don't mean he's Lord over your life. God is still God. And when one of y'all fall, the other should be there to pick them up because they still walking with God. When both of y'all look at each other as the end all be all, you will begin to hate each other. Why? Because if they can't give you what you need when you want it, then they become your God and you get mad at your God and you want to walk away from your God. Only God can be God. Hello, somebody. Only God can be God. What's the name of your fish? I want to go. We're almost done. James 1, I did say that in the beginning. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you are wondering what to do, if any of you are saying, I just don't understand. If any of you are wondering, how does this fit together? God, why is this happening in this moment? Listen, when the AC went out over there, I was brokenhearted. Can I just be honest? Because listen, everything that you give in an offering is just enough to keep the air on. It's not enough to make anybody rich. Not enough to make us even middle class. It's enough to have AC for you to come. Some of you aren't giving because you think somebody else is, and then nobody gives. But at least I want you to come to a church where you can be cool and hear the gospel. I've been to Africa. I've been to Kenya. I've been to Nairobi. I've been to in San Salvador, El Salvador, where they have tin roofs, no windows, and sand floors. And the sand gets washed out by the rain, so you got divots as big as people in the sanctuary floor. And they worship God like it ain't nothing. They don't have speakers. They have their personal worship. And they blow our churches away. But it doesn't have to be like that. you can be that passionate believer here, whether you have air or you don't, whether you're in the U.S. or you're not, because he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. If any man lacks wisdom, don't understand, while they're going through something, it says, let him ask of God. Wow, what? You mean to tell me God says you will, at times in our lives, be confused? You won't understand why you're feeling the way you are, why it feels like your zeal is gone, why it feels like you have no passion anymore, why it feels like, man, I don't even like preacher no more. I don't like his shoes. I don't like the smell of the building. You just sour. And you're wondering why? Ask God. Because sometimes the trouble you're going through is to get you to ask. Not yell. Not pout. Not scream. Not throw a do you care card. Can you just ask God? Stay away from blaming God. The Bible says, and all that Job, we know who Job is, right? Everybody know Job? Let me tell you, if you don't know, this man lost almost 7 children, his fortune, his land. He was robbed, and he was left with boils and sitting in dust and ashcloth, and his wife said, curse God and die. And yet, the Bible says, in all that Job went through, he did not sin against God by charging God foolishly. In other words, saying, God, it's your fault. He just asked God why. If you ever read the last chapter of Job, it's mind-boggling what God says. But listen to what it says. Ask God that gives to all men a little bit. No. All men generously. That means not only does he answer you, but he gives you more than what you asked for. Can we stop for a second in this church and make a decision in our hearts that the next time we go through something, we're not going to blame God. We're going to ask and listen, because he wants to tell us something. You wonder why things are going bad. There may be a reason. Maybe you're trying to connect with somebody that ain't you're not supposed to connect with. And you wonder why y'all can never connect. There's a reason. Watch this. He gives to all men, and that means all men and women included in that, liberally, and he doesn't laugh at you. God never takes pleasure in your problem. Can you hear me? God never takes pleasure in your problem. He's waiting to give you an answer, a solution. So much so, he keeps adding so much answers and just waiting for you to ask. And then it says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Remember the story of the disciple in the boat? The boat was driven by the wind and it was tossed. If you're going to ask God, make up your mind to ask in faith, not ask in fake. Did you hear what I just said? You need to write that down. Ask in faith. Don't ask in fake. Because I go to people and say, did you pray? Yeah, I pray. I pray all the time. Fake. Did you ask God about that specifically? Yeah, sure I did. Fake. When you ask somebody, did you really pray about that? They go, yes. Then I just say, okay, trust him. Here we go. And it always happens. Listen to me. A man like that will not receive anything from the Lord. And a double-minded man is unstable in everything. You won't just see it in prayer life. You see it on the job. You see it in the serving in the church. Unstable, can't stick with one thing. When you can stick and ask God about your problems, you can solve how you are in the workplace. The stability in your home. The stability with your children. The stability in your church. The stability of your prayer life. But it all starts with asking God first. How many believe God will answer?